Yeah, I like that background though. I do like that background.
When, like I said, usually I have my green screen up, but I was like, no, when you get just a green screen with nothing on the screen, it looks like garbage. So I was like, let's just, we'll give the authentic look, but here we go.
But here we go. All right, well, let's just do this thing, sir.
Let's roll.
Let's roll. Let's roll. Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Check podcast, where we talk about all things service industry related and whatever the hell else I feel like talking about. I am Rashawn Parker, and if you have not yet, please go watch my television show, Beyond the Check Worker Owner Edition, where I go hang out with fantastic chef owners, find out about their lives, history of the restaurant, and of course, cook up and try some of the best dishes they have to offer. Now streaming on Amazon Prime and Tubi TV, PS Tubi TV, it's free TV. Just a thing. My guest today is a fantastic comedian, magician, and podcast host. He hosts a fun show called Abracadam, which is just a badass name. Ladies and gentlemen, Danny Whitson. Hi, Danny.
What's happening, man? How you doing?
I'm good, buddy. Happy happy whatever today is.
Happy, it's Thursday. It's Thursday. Yes, happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
Every day of the month. It's like there's something today. It's like National Something Day. We just don't know.
Right. Somewhere in the world, there's definitely a holiday. It's a birthday. There's a lot of birthdays happening right now, I'm sure. So,
absolutely.
Right. Happy birthday to everybody whose birthday it is today. Hey.
It would have been really cool if it was my birthday today and you didn't know that. But
oh.
The
Merry, very merry unbirthday to you, so sir.
But yeah, man, great to be here, man. Great to be here.
Yeah, awesome to have you. So tell me a little bit about yourself. Let's get to know each other. So you do some magic and some comedy. What's it like combining
magic? Yes, sir.
So do you like tell jokes to the rabbits like when you pull them out of the hat? Or like how does this work?
That's what I always hear and I always tell people, you know, honestly, I've never pulled a rabbit ever out of a hat. But if you see my show, I actually pull a hairless cat out of a hat.
Even so, better.
It's pretty wild. actually, I've been doing this to 20s, started out as a street performer. And then just kind of made my way into the comedy clubs and learned stand up and then combined the two, which isn't easy, by the way. A lot of people think that comedy and magic go hand in hand, but it's not, because good comedy is about telling the truth and good magic is full of caca. So, you know, making the two work, but it somehow I figured something out. So,
yeah, I mean, magic's sleight of hand and comedy's sleight of mind.
Well, I mean, you know, it's with comedy, stand-up comedy is the hardest, in my opinion, one of the hardest performing art, period.
I've tried.
You're there and you're there bearing your soul, and it's just you and your thoughts, and of course you're exposing a part of yourself that, you know, most people are terrified to do. With magic is all the work, all the real hard work that you don't realize, like sleight of hand, is behind the scenes. And it's not, I mean, you're getting to display something like, you know, a miracle take place in front of your eyes, but you don't know how much work and time that magician has put into doing that.
Well, you know? This isn't the same true for the stand-up too. Like, I mean, you've probably been working a certain joke for, you know, quite
a while. The crazy thing with stand-up is there's bits that I thought were just dead, were never going to work, and then I literally just changed the tone of my voice when I deliver, say it a certain way in a field.
Right? It's that subtle.
It's exactly.
Because I know that you when you're with people, you're hanging out around people and you're bullshitting, and that's where, like, you know, sometimes that's where you're the funniest and the best shit just comes out, right? And if you don't write it down, it's gone forever. But if you do try to remember
try to write it down. You know, I'll tell you, this literally happened the other day. And this is not a bit. It may become a bit, but this actually really happened the other day. I had to go to the grocery store for my wife, okay? And I asked the guy, I said, hey, which aisle is the Fenneman products? And he said, aisle 16. And I was like, man, I hope they have her brand. And he goes, well, we've got chocolate, we got peanut butter, we got caramel, we got some with nuts. And I was sitting there like for 5 minutes. I'm like, what the hell is this guy talking about? Until I realized he thought I said the M&M products.
Oh.
I'm like, nuts. I don't want nuts with nuts. You don't need them.
What are you talking about? They come in all those varieties? They're flavored now?
So, I mean, the crazy thing is, though, being a comic, you always have to be aware and you always have to pay attention because you're always looking for material. And I was like, bam, I can do some of that. Mm-hmm. That I can do some of that. So, but yeah, it's definitely a lot of work.
It's and that's not easy being funny. Some people think it's just you're just born funny.
Oh, no.
I'm born funny looking, not necessarily funny.
I mean, now there can be things like me, what works out for me, a lot of things too. But a being a 5'6" redheaded dude, I think
oh, that
helps
definitely
a
helps.
Lot too.
Yeah, for sure. Know?
So but I mean, because the rule in comedy, not so much in magic, but the rule in comedy is if you're too good looking, you got to be like super funny if you're
right?
a good looking comic.
It's like what Dane Cook had to like try so hard and steal everybody
Dane
else's
had to try
jokes
real hard.
To like
but know, now Dane but now Dane is uglier in hell.
Oh, not
seen
good.
Dane lately.
Yeah, where, like no, where he, did I was curious the other day. I was like, what the hell happened to Dane Cook? Yeah, it's not pretty.
He aged like a banana.
It's not pretty.
It was awful.
We're supposed to age like fine wines, right? He went the milk route.
Do what?
I said we're supposed to age like fine wines, but he went the milk route.
Absolutely.
So speaking of foods, you got a thing that you like is your go-to before you go on stage?
You know what, man? I never eat.
Or do you ever?
I go on stage.
Do you eat before you go on stage? Never.
I never eat, and the reason why because I don't want to be on stage like belching and we're bloated and my show I'm kind of like all over the place. So, but now afterwards, and this is I think true to a lot of entertainers who work nights, late night. You do get that, you'll go hit up a place afterwards. But now one thing
you got to work up the appetite
that really love, like me and my wife will travel with me a lot on road gigs.
Oh, that's nice.
And we try to find a good place in this town we've never been to, a place to go eat, and we will definitely try that. We will somewhere, either the next day get up and go try that place. So we have eaten some good spots.
Do you only listen to advice from comedians? Because that would be great.
What's that?
If you only listen to comedians' advice on where to go eat after shows, like, because I'm sure you meet the other.
What's weird is a lot of times I don't know on food. Comics are probably aren't the best advice to ask. Because
how about magicians?
A lot of them.
Which magician versus comedian for advice? Who do we go to?
Oh man! First of all, a magician's definitely love giving advice. Okay, I promise you that. But now you may have better luck with magicians. Normally, I don't ask magicians about places to eat, but I know you've been in the food service industry that they do. Some restaurants will hire magicians to work certain restaurants.
Oh yeah,
To do like
I actually remember
magic. So they may know some good spots. Yeah,
yeah.
The other thing, but a lot of times we will just Google some places and be like, oh, this place sounds great. Let's check it out.
That's what I do.
Boom, we'll hit it up, man. Like there's a place in, can I give places shout outs?
Sure,
like
go for
businesses
it.
Shout outs on here?
Go to town.
If you like donuts.
If you like donuts.
Huntsville, Alabama.
Huntsville, Alabama.
There's a place called Bigfoot. Yes. Bigfoot's Little Donuts.
Bigfoot's okay? Little Donuts. Cute.
Bigfoot's Little Donuts. I absolutely love it because you walk in and they got this big old Bigfoot standing in there and they make these little tiny donuts fresh right there. Oh my God.
Are they actually tiny? Are they like miniatures?
They are. They're little donuts. They're miniatures. They're not the big ones. But they're delicious. They're absolutely delicious. I highly recommend Bigfoot's Little Donuts.
Bigfoot's Little Donuts. Not to be confused with Littlefoot's Big Donuts.
Littlefoot's Big Donut. Is there a Littlefoot?
No, I have no idea.
There is. There's like a cartoon. I was thinking the other day with Bigfoot.
Oh, Littlefoot. What if Littlefoot's from the dinosaur Land Before Time?
Yes.
Littlefoot.
Yeah. That Bigfoot's cousin though is Big Ass. Have you heard of Bigfoot's cousin? You can see Bigfoot's cousin in the woods.
Big Ass.
Twerking. Just try Big Ass, Big Butt. I don't know.
And that's just
trying to make it a twerk video.
Maybe that's just Bigfoot's wife getting down.
There you go, brother. There we go. Bigfoot likes him curvy.
Right? I mean, he's a big boy himself, you know?
He's got, absolutely. He's
a big booty to go with that.
Absolutely.
Indeed, sir.
Booty.
Booty. Booty, booty.
So no, I would definitely say that's a good place. Yeah.
Nice. You're in Atlanta?
No, sir.
Where are you?
I am. Okay. I'm in a town right outside of Knoxville, Tennessee.
Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yes.
A cute little town.
Yeah, not a bad town, man. There's some great places. And here local where I'm at, Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
Oak Ridge.
Right outside of Knoxville. Home of Big Ed's Pizza. So if you never had Big Ed's Pizza, if you're ever in this way, you definitely got to try that place because it's some great, great pizza.
Big Ed's. Bigfoot's. Big Ed's. I'm seeing a theme here.
There we go. It's little man syndrome. Rashawn, it's got to be big.
How do you order your pizza, Danny? Big.
You know what, man? Big.
You remember the big? There was big. Little Caesars had the Bigfoot pizza. You remember that?
Gosh, back in the day.
Yeah.
I used to work at Little Caesars back in the day when in high school.
Really?
That was a great gig, bro.
I actually hear Little Caesars is actually rated like one of the freshest pizzas, which is weird since it's a grab and go place, but they're right. They make that shit.
Yeah,
like
every
morning.
It was great, man. What we used to do is, I mean, this is like back in the 90s. So hell, we would close early and get high. And then we would make like the coolest made up pizza you could, you know, think of when you're high.
Right.
No telling what was on that thing.
Everything.
You know, we probably ate God knows what, you know, there's all kinds of crap on there. But then we would all like, we would break up into teams and we would have like dough wars. So the people would come in the next day to open the store and there'd be a big blob of dough hanging from the Little Caesar sign. It was good times, man.
The dough wars. I mean, you know, it's not going to be good the next day, right? You got to do something with it.
Yeah, dude. Good times though, man.
You can only make so many pizzas before, like, the dough is going to fly. My first job was at a Chinese restaurant in a mall. And I chopped vegetables.
Ah.
And washed dishes.
No.
And didn't understand a word they were telling me.
So you were washing the dishes. It was probably like, you know, they rambled some sha-da-da-da-da and threw some dishes at you.
Yeah. I mean, but there was two when I started. Anna and Singh. Singh was her husband, and he spoke no English. And Anna spoke a little English, but when she wasn't there, it was like, yeah, it was just eye contact and hand movements. And so my friend had actually started with me, and he worked the register. But he eventually got caught stealing from the register and got fired. So I got moved from the kitchen up front when their cousin Wang showed up. And he took over chopping the vegetables. And he used to wrap his face in cellophane when he would chop onions. And you could like see from the courtyard, right, like back into the kitchen where he would sit, like chopping the onions with just cellophane wrapped around his face. And people would just come up like, what? Is he? What is he doing? It's like he's chopping onions. He's like, oh, is he? Can he breathe? And I'm like, I think so, because he would just wrap it around his whole face.
This was back in the day too, right?
Yeah, this was like 92.
We got to be close to the same age, right, brother?
Yeah, it's like 1992, yeah, this 93.
The 90s. They don't know how dangerous the 90s was. You wore protection on everything you did in the 90s. So yeah,
I'm or not.
You know, people don't know.
90s was. Did we? I mean, I didn't. Well, I grew up in the 80s, so like bike helmets and knee pads and elbow pads, and I never saw any of that. Like, I didn't even know that shit existed.
We didn't have that. No. I'm talking about the other recreational stuff. Not the fun.
There's a lot of drugs in the 90s.
My dad sitting me on the hood of the car or drive.
Everything happened in the 90s. The 90s was just a free for all of like everything returning. So like all the hippie culture came back, right? So you just, everybody's on acid, and you got all of a sudden there's meth everywhere, and like coke's still around because the 80s just ended, and in the 90s was a free for all. Everyone still smoked inside. You can still smoke cigarettes inside.
Oh yeah, dude. That's so wild. Whenever you know that
smoking or non,
when you go back and think that. Everywhere. People smoked everywhere.
Everywhere.
Now, you were in an Asian restaurant, so which is cool. I'm around a lot of Asian food. My wife's Filipino, so I get to eat a lot of cool, delicious Filipino food.
Oh. Have you learned to cook any of it? Or does she not let you touch it?
Oh, no. I would screw it up, man. There's no way. There's no way I could cook it, but she makes the baddest egg rolls. Lumpia is what they call it, and absolutely delicious. One of my favorite types of food is best egg rolls in all the Asian cuisine. Okay,
what's in them?
It's the one with it's meat. They put a lot of meat. There's a lot of good meat. I'm a meat eater.
Unfortunately, I'm also a meat eater. I'm trying to be better, but.
Well, I think it's a balance, man, right? I mean, I'm one of these people, I think, yes, you need to eat your vegetables, but there's something there. There's a reason why we got these sharp teeth in our mouth. And here's another reason, too.
I don't want to ruin it for you.
Well, here's the thing.
But
here's
they're the wrong ones. These aren't actually sharp. There's not actually, these aren't for eating meat. That's not what they're for.
Well, here's the thing. If we ain't supposed to eat meat, let me just say this. If we're not supposed to eat meat, why the hell do you see vegetarians eating veggie burgers? You don't see meat eaters.
Because you want to know why? I'll tell you why.
Steak like broccoli. You know, I mean, come on, get out of here, you know?
Because if you're going to be vegetarian, the best stuff is the vegetarian junk food. And the vegetarian junk food, like, okay, the corn dogs. Like
a lot of overweight vegetarians.
I think we just need to eat.
It throws on me.
I think that we just need to eat more, just balanced in general, right? Like, so a lot of Asian food is like a little bit of meat and the broth, but mostly vegetables, right? It's the ratio to your plate, right? Yeah. And an American's plate is 80% meat and then some carbs and, 10% carbs and like 5% vegetables, right? And that's real. Go look at it, go grab a Hungry Man out of the freezer section. What's in it, right? And
that's true. Now, that one show you did, though, dude, that literally made me like want to eat
keto.
Like, I can't remember that one. Yeah. Well, not just keto, but what was some of the stuff that he was making prior to that? I guess it was keto, but it
The one was keto, but the shrimp ceviche, talking about sea salt healthy kitchen. Yeah. The keto taco, dude, is, I mean, yeah. You can't, I mean, first of all, used really good filet, right? So the steak was amazing. It was marinated fantastically. And a cheese tortilla is like, how can you go wrong?
I mean, come on.
You can't.
Why is cheese so good, Rashawn? Because
it's so fucking bad for you. Everything that's that good is bound to not be good for you. Right? It's the unfortunate side effect of it's deliciousness.
It's tough. It's tough, man. This the past 2 years now, I can't just blame it on the pandemic, but the past 2 years I have gained weight because I've ate like a possum. You know, it's just been horrible.
Hold up, shouting down, writing jokes.
Yeah, it's
magic.
It's but I don't know. I do need to try. I'm trying to make some better choices. I am trying to, But it's got to be tough working around food like you, man. That's got to be tough. How is that?
I went vegetarian for like a month, just like, you know, whatever. That was a while ago. And then we had to go do the show. We had to go to Texas. So like, I'm like, all right, well, I'm just vegetarian and turn right around and I'm going to go eat all the barbecues. And we did. I am so sick of barbecue.
You know, man, it's like everybody's doing barbecue though. Right. So, I mean, it's like, it's almost like a fad now, kind of.
I'll tell you what not to say to a Texan barbecuer.
What's that?
It's not, at the end of the day, it's really just, you know, heat and smoke, right? No. I accidentally said that because I was talking to the guy who's rubbing brisket. And he's talking, and he's like, so he's like, you know, I mean, you know, see, you gotta have, you know, different rubs and, you know, all that. And so, but, you know, and he says at the end of the day, and he pauses. So, and I'm like, it's just heat and smoke. And he just snaps his neck at me and he's like, no. What? No. So what? Don't finish.
Is this episode on the show?
Huh?
Is this episode on the show?
It's season 3, so it won't be out till November. But yeah, okay, when I was in Texas, I made the mistake of finishing this man's sentence. And it is not just heat and smoke. Barbecue is so much more than that. There's novels of barbecue.
Do you know what gets on my nerves? This is a pet peeve, and it really bugs the hell out of me. Is I hear people sometimes say they refer a barbecue to whenever they're grilling out.
Oh yeah, that's not right.
You know, they're I hate it when they, you know, like they're having a cookout, but they say, "Hey, come over to our house. We're having a barbecue." And then, no, you're not. You know, you're
you made me burgers and a hot dog.
Yeah, exactly. With a propane tank. You know, you're literally doing nothing. You're cooking in your kitchen.
There is no smoke. You know,
I mean, come on. I've definitely heard people say that bugs the hell out of me.
Yeah, I think.
What kind of dog? Big dog.
This is Sugar.
Sugar!
She's a multi poo.
Nice to meet you, Sugar.
She's 7. She's a sup. She's a baby girl. She likes to sit in my lap at all times. All times.
So what do you think about these dog chefs? And
oh, yeah. Dog chefs.
Right? Market for that now, right?
Right? So I tried to, like, they eat fresh pet now, but I at one point tried making them like raw food or making them their own dog food. It's a real pain in the ass. And my other dog is super picky, right? This little bitch will eat anything. Like, she is a chow hound. We have to, he eats on the table. My boy does, because if not, she'll eat the rest of his food. And he only eats half of it at a time and he'll come back for it later. He's finicky.
One of those. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So like I tried raw, like going to the store and getting like livers and hearts, and because it's super cheap, right? They just like give this shit to you pretty much and food process it and just give it to him raw. He's like, hell no, I'm not, I don't want that. So I had to saute it for him. And then he would eat it, but then he got real sick of that real quick and wouldn't eat it anymore. So I went to the Fresh Pet and they've been on that. But I want dog restaurants. They have dog restaurants out there.
Dog restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Where is this at? Where do they have a dog restaurant?
They're sprinkled across the country, but they do exist. Where, I mean, a lot of places will have like a dog menu, you know, like where, you know, now, but it's not like a full on like this restaurant is for the dog. But with like with little playpens, right, where the dogs can run around and play. So it's basically like a dog park / restaurant. But the menu is, you know, they got doggy drinks and doggy, like,
you know,
entrees.
I mean, I think
and the people are really secondary, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, you know, if there's a market for it, go for it. But at the same time, there's just reassurance that not even talking political, but if it don't ever shit on this country, because to be a dog in this country is better than being. I mean, a human in some other countries. So,
I mean, they got it made. I feel bad for all the dogs of the past, you know, like in the fifth, like all dogs were like, growing up in cartoons and everything, dogs lived in the doghouse outside, right? Like dogs lived in the doghouse. Yeah. Dogs lived in, they had a doghouse. They had their own house. They lived outside, right? For like a long time. That's all you saw, right? Cartoons, remember? Think about it.
It's that whole generation.
The
generation,
cat lived like inside with the mouse. Yeah. Right? But the dog.
They're outside. Like, hey. You know, you damn kids these days don't know how good you got it. I was chained up in the backyard, you know,
to a tiny house.
He would leave for a week and we would just, he'd pour us a big old bag of, you know, dog food and leave for a week. Yeah, dogs now got it made.
Yeah, like, absolutely. But now I feel so bad for all those dogs. Like, if you see a dog, it's like, oh, he lives outside. You're like, why are you torturing your dog?
Do people still do that?
Dog
really?
Abuse.
Because I don't see a lot of that.
It doesn't, not often, but like there's a dog in my neighborhood. Like he's always like, because I walk my dogs around and like that dog's, I peek over the fence and he's got a doghouse and he's literally chained to his doghouse inside of a fence. And I'm like, why is the dog on a chain? He's inside a fence. It doesn't make any sense to me.
That's douchey.
Right.
What do you, now? Are you only dogs? Do you have cats?
No, I have had cats, but
you're not a cat dude.
We don't have.
I've got a cat. I've got a cat also, and she's her name's Doris.
Doris? What kind of cat's Doris?
She is a, what is it, a calico? Am I saying it right?
Yeah, calico. Mm-hmm. The brown and black and like kind of spotty.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So, but she's a good animal, good pet. I love Doris. But yeah, cats and dogs, man. Restaurants for cats and dogs. This sounds like a Bill Murray line.
My buddy wants to open one. I don't want to give away his whole thing, but it's a barbecue place. Fuck it, I mentioned that.
Barbecue, Fred.
Well, because you could take, think about it, you can reuse all those bones, right? All the leftovers, all the trimmings, all that shit, and you know, have a dog chef go to town on it.
Now, I will say this. A place here in town just opened a brewery, and it's a brewery, but also a place for your pets. So you can bring your pets and drink beer. I don't think they serve the pets beer, but it's definitely a kind of like a social place to where you can sit back and have a few. So, but that's becoming a thing, man. There's a market for that.
I feel like I've seen a dog beer before, though. Like at a brewery, it's not actual beer, right? But it is like on tap, and it is for the dogs. Right, like a sparkling like water of some kind. Now, I swear to fucking God.
Oh man, I don't know. I thought this is a food podcast. We're talking a lot about dogs and cats.
Yeah, I mean, whatever else I feel like talking about.
I love it.
Do you ever pull the cat out of the hat?
Well, technically, Sean, you're going to have to see the show. It's a grown-up magic show. So it might be a cat or it might be a metaphor. You just got to kind of watch it.
Touche.
Here, hold on. Actually, you know what? Hold on. Do you want to see me pull the cat out of a hat?
I mean, no one else will be able to see. You just literally put the cat out of a hat?
No one else will see it. You'll get to see it. Hold on one second.
Okay.
Just for you.
Dun, 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 dun. This is the first time in my entire life.
Here it is.
That anybody has ever.
All right, you ready, brother?
All right. Here we go.
Okay, now you guys listen. You Danny can't Whitson. See this, but I'm totally about to pull a hairless cat out of a top hat. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Da da da.
Oh, nuts.
There you go.
You're gonna need to go see the show to find out what he actually pulled out of that hat, ladies and gentlemen. But it was nuts. I mean, it was out of this world.
But now, what about
fire away, sir?
Well, I was gonna ask you. You know, I'm trying to trail off the topic of cats and dogs, but it's now some people in other country eat cats and dogs.
They do. I mean, we eat horse here and don't know that that's actually a thing.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, like in the South, especially the Southeast, Southern Appalachia, there's people in the backwoods that still eat squirrel or eat possum
or raccoon. And
raccoons, you know.
You gotta brine all this stuff really well first, I hear.
I wonder, they say squirrel goes good with dumplings, is what I've heard.
I mean, what doesn't go well with dumplings, really?
That's true. Man.
Dumplings
That's
are
true.
Delicious.
Now, where are you at, Rashawn? Where are you coming from?
I'm here? In Savannah, Georgia.
Savannah, Georgia.
Yeah, I'm just down the road from you. State.
Good deal. Two. You know what, man?
No.
I was Wednesday. Actually was looking. I may be coming out your way to do a show, actually. Sometime this year.
Well,
yes.
Keep me updated and we will come.
Cool, man. That would be fantastic. You're surrounded by a lot of good.
My buddy's moving to Nashville sometime in a month or so. So,
I can tell you right now about Nashville. Okay. When your buddy goes to Nashville, if he's not familiar, like I know you being a chef, you totally know about the whole
not a chef.
Chicken.
Not a chef.
Oh, you're not a chef?
No. I'm a home chef.
I totally thought you.
No,
a home that's chef. One of,
that's one of the first questions I have on my one sheet is like, are you a chef? And the answer is no, I am not. I have managed restaurants and bars and I've worked in the kitchen, right? But I've never was actually the back of the house. I was always the front of the house.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I did not know that, man.
Yeah. Well, fun facts.
Man with a lot of skills.
I owned a bar for 2 days.
2 days.
Two
okay.
Days.
This sounds like a story right here.
All right, I'll tell you real quick. So I had gone to rescue this bar, and these people had just run this awesome bar completely into the ground. Right, they've scared off all the customers. They were just giving away all their shit for free perpetually, like. Nobody went here except for the mooches that they had left over, right? And it was a great part of town. There was no reason for it just to be, like, failing so bad. But everybody, you know, the reputation was just terrible. And so I go to fix it, and I'm like, okay, first we just got to change the name of this place. We got to, like, redecorate this bitch. And they didn't want to spend any more money. And so they're like, look, we'll sell it to you for $20,000. And I was like, what? The stuff in here is worth more than $20,000. Oh, but sure, great. So I went and got my dentist buddy, and I was like, hey, man, you want to buy this bar with me? And he's like, oh, sure, yeah, let's do that. So I give them the money. Problem was they had an offer out that hadn't expired yet, and these people just had never come back. And so they just figured they were gone, right? And they weren't coming back. And so they wait until what they think is the day that this offer has expired. And they're like, all right, cool. So we sign the papers and fucking like give them the money. And so I'm open for like 2 days. And then on the third day, they come wake me up in the morning at my house. And they're like, we fucked up. The offer hadn't expired yet. Like it was, we had the date wrong, and so they're buying the place. And so here's your money back, and we're sorry. I'm like, all right, cool. So, I had the bar for 2 days, and 2 weeks later, maybe a month later, the people who had bought it ended up having like a shooting inside of it, and it got shut down forever. And now it's a clothing store.
Oh man, damn, 20 grand seems like a steal though, right?
Oh, it was total steal. The rent was cheap. It was like, I mean, this was like, I don't know, 10 years ago, but yeah.
Wow. Well, I don't know, man. I've never owned a business like that, but it would, you know, like I said, I'm in a lot of them. It would be, you know, I like to think one day maybe it would be nice to have my own, you know, place like that. Maybe, I don't know. I'm staring at the man who's done it.
Abracadams. So.
Abracadams. That'd be a great place, wouldn't it?
Dinner and a magic show with some comedy, you know.
Absolutely, I would love that.
And during
I would
the
absolutely love that. So
during the week, you could still just be a restaurant with, like, you know, just little mini shows, you know, maybe the local, and then weekends have the bigger ones, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I would love to have something like that. I would. So you just basically, so you travel around to all these cool restaurants and get to eat all this cool food, and you produce or put on a great show, a hell of a damn show. High quality, man. I really love it. It's
you
relaxing,
obviously
man.
Watch season two.
Well, the cool thing about your show is it's got that chill feel to where I can just sit back and feel like I'm high, but I'm not even high, but I just feel relaxed and I'm hungry. It's kind of like being high watching your show.
Right. It's very,
because it chills you out.
It's very, season two is very, very PBS or like BBC kind of slow.
I love it, dude.
Right. Like, it's like TV was when we were kids, right? It wasn't.
Oh,
as,
yeah. Yeah.
It didn't go as fast. The editing wasn't as fast. The attention spans were longer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
Right?
Definitely. Like, attention span is so, so different. You know, I tell people now, like, you know, people getting into marketing. You know, marketing is a different game than what it was 25 years ago, you know?
Oh, it's crazy. It's mostly AI now. Like, if you know, for the big dogs, they don't have to do a whole lot anymore other than it's doing the targeting. It's targeted, right? You're just not spending a bunch of money on an ad on TV to try to reach who knows who, right? The demographic that's watching that show. That's like, here, you said target. Let me show you some target ads real quick when you pick up your phone next time.
God, that's so creepy. Isn't that? There's so much creepiness with that, man. I mean, everything I talk about, it's either on your Facebook feed or you know, it's just so crazy. It is.
It's creepy. You ever try it on purpose? Like, just say something random that you're definitely not going to buy and just see if it shows up.
Oh,
in your
phone. Absolutely.
And it does. And you're just like, that's fucking crazy.
one of the craziest things, one time I was having a private, and I don't know, I can't even prove this, but it's a little bit too coincidental. I was having a private conversation with a friend on my telephone, and we were talking about a topic, and which I don't even want to get into the topic, but we were just having a conversation about that topic, and I had stated my opinion about that topic, and then I literally got right on YouTube 5 minutes later, and there my recommended was a video
about what you just talked about.
But it was being my opinion. This video was, that's what it was all about.
That's fucking nuts.
How odd is that?
Yep. Well, if you can, you know, hey, you know, if instead of an ocean, you create a river, and then you decide where that river goes. It's like it's the man-made. And it's like,
you know what I think?
But are we doing it to ourselves? You know what I mean? Like, because it's out there and we're aware that, well, I don't know that most people are aware that it's happening to them, that while you're making these decisions, that it is formulating and repeating and copying and making an algorithm for you that is going to weave you through a river of your own design. You know what I mean? Like, because it's just mirroring you and finiting you, right? To sell shit to you.
I think that's exactly, people know. I mean, people can act like they don't know, but at the same time, I mean, they're addicted. They're addicted to social media. They're addicted to their phone. They're addicted to these things. And because, like, you know, old Zuckerberg, he figured out, you know, they figured out the same way, like the big tobacco companies, you know, pitch something that they can get addicted to and then you're good, you know? So, I mean, basically that's all he's doing. And like, people who smoke know the shit's bad for them, but they keep doing it. And the same thing with what we're doing now. You know, we know that literally our entire lives are broadcast for, you know, forever now. And we have no privacy whatsoever. They know every damn thing you're looking at. They know, you know, they're listening to everything you're saying. I sound like a conspiracy theorist, but...
And we care less and less every day about it. You know what I mean? Like, I totally don't care. Like, I'm like, I have nothing to hide. Here's my 50 different social media accounts. Here's, you know what? And I kind of have to do that. But like,
people like us, people.
But I don't know.
Like,
it is a pain in the ass.
We're wide open.
It's a fucking pain in the dick is what it is. I'm not addicted to social media at this point. When you're on the other side of like having to make social media, right? I just want to put it down and forget it exists because it's such a pain in the dick.
Well, you know, the thing I hate, I absolutely hate social media. I hate that. I don't think we all need a platform. I don't think we all need to be connected. There's a reason why we shouldn't be. We see a lot of it. You know, we see why. But being an entertainer, I have no choice now because I have to have social media and I have to have these things. And it's just like TikTok videos. You know, you hop on damn TikTok and you see people doing the dumbest shit
and you watch it.
And they're literally so. But you watch it, absolutely. And you know, they're sitting there. They're literally selling their soul so they can be famous for 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and here I am scrolling through it, and I'm guilty of this.
And 30 minutes later, you're like, "Son of a bitch."
Yeah. That's why they call it TikTok. You're just ticking your life away, you douchebag. You know.
I'm having hip surgery next week, actually. So reminds me, I need to do this now.
Oh shit! Hip surgery.
So I have one replacement on the left side, and I'm having the other one replaced next week. I have bone on bone, terrible arthritis caused by dysplasia. Ooh. So thank you, Operation Walk, for on this episode of Beyond the Check for giving me a new hip. So I was gonna do TikTok dances with one hip replaced, and then TikTok dances with like my walker. Right, like after surgery, and then finally with like you know two good hips, and just see
nice.
How that goes.
So, were you like a runner or something, or did you sleep on your side too much? How did that happen?
No, I have just. I was a runner too, though. I would jog like 7 miles a day. I can't jog at all now, but maybe I can in 2 months. But I had hip joints that grow oblong. Right, so this happens usually in your teens, right, where your hips will start to just fade. They don't stay round. And so as they move, they're just destroying your cartilage because it's not round and in the joint. So over years of, you know, lots of physical activity, I totally destroyed all the cartilage in my hip joints. So fun things, I used to try to stretch. I'd like. Went to physical therapy because this doctor told me that's what I should do without ever even thinking that I had arthritis this bad because I'm like in my 30s. I shouldn't need hip replacements at the time. But yeah, I finally at 40 go to the surgeon and he's like, oh yeah, dude, you're fucked. So there's nothing I could have done to make this better. And he's like, oh no, nothing. Nothing at all except get new ones.
Like, see, I know sometimes like if I sleep on my side, you know, too long, I'll wake up and my hip will be sore. Now, I'm in my 40s, so I guess we're close to the same age.
I'm 42 now.
Okay.
1979.
I'm older than you. I'm 44.
Ah, shit. You made it even further into the 70s. I caught the butt end, right? Like, right at the end.
But no, I mean, it's just one. Sometimes I'm like, God, my hip's killing me. I've been so, you know, yeah, you gotta take care of yourself.
Now, if you have kids, but if you ever do, and you have like hip, you know, my dad couldn't bend over; he couldn't cut his own toenails. He was in the army and had to do army crawls, and the drill sergeant would like sit on his butt trying to push his legs down, and he couldn't do it. Right, like so, like this. Mm. My parents are hippies, so like doctors weren't really things that we did that often. And you don't really know, but if you do have dysplasia, they can go in and like shave the ball down before it gets bad, and then you never have to have surgery.
Good deal, man. But. You know, you mentioned your parents being hippies. I want to say this is what happens with hippie parents. You get people like you're doing cool shit, bro. You're definitely that's a cool thing. See, my parents weren't hippies, but you haven't. Hippie parents, they're like, they, you know, encourage you to do cool shit, man, and you're doing cool shit.
Yeah, I was homeschooled. We had a book that was like my favorite book as a kid was this. It was just this blank book, and it'd have, you could write stories in it, and it'd have like one line starters, and then it was just creative writing. So don't worry about how you spell it, son. Oh. Just write it. Just, you know, don't worry. Just tell the story, you know. So my spelling fucking terrible. but I can tell but I can tell a story.
Super cool, man. Hey, but before I get out of here, though,
yeah.
can I, even though I know they can't see this, but can I do a magic trick for you?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. This is what I'm going to do, man. I'm going to try to do some mind reading. Are you cool with that?
All right. Mind reading. Let's do it.
You believe in mind reading, Rashawn? Brother, I'm going to get inside your head, dude.
All right.
I'm going to get in there like a Facebook ad, baby.
All right.
Here we go. I tell you what. I'm going to hold some cards up right here. Let me see if I can unblur them. Here we go. Hold on.
Let me figure this out. Right there.
There we go. Right here.
Okay.
Think of one of those cards. Hold on. Let me get back.
All right. I got one.
Think of one of those cards. You got it?
Yep.
All right. Here we go. Don't forget it. Okay? Or I sound like a dumbass.
I'm writing it down.
I sound like a dumber ass. Here we go. All right. I'm going to lose it in the deck. You guys listening to this, listen. I'm shuffling the cards.
So he has held up cards for me, showed me the numbers, and I picked my card and my suit.
All right. Dun. Now, let me ask you real quick. Let me ask you. The card you're thinking of, is it a high card, a low card, or kind of in between?
A low card.
I'm going to try to cut the deck here. I got a deck of cards right here. I'm going to try to cut.
Cut it.
Here, hold on.
Slice. Here, let me do it for you. I got it. There we go. All right.
He's chopping. Here we go. Wait. I don't know, man. We're trying.
Yeah. That's my card.
Let's see.
There.
You know what? You know what, Rashawn? I'm going to cut right here, brother.
All
right. I'm obligated right here.
Right there.
I'm obligated.
Okay.
For the first time, tell all the listeners, I'm obligated, guys. I have cut the deck right here. I'm obligated. I cannot get out of this. What was the card you were thinking of?
Two of Hearts.
The Two of Hearts. The Two of Hearts?
With three of hearts.
The Three of Hearts?
It was the two or the three. I'm pretty sure it was the Two of Hearts.
He's done forgot the damn card. You know what's crazy, though? I tell you what. We'll do this.
I wrote it down. It's the
you
Two
said
of Hearts.
Three of Hearts. You said Three of Hearts, Rashawn.
I did. We're going to go
Three of Hearts.
All right. Three of Hearts.
This is crazy. We're going to put the deck of cards aside because they can't see this, but you can see this. Like, you know how earlier when you talked about the cliche of a magician pulling a rabbit out of a hat?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, there's another one. There's another one where magicians have things up their sleeves.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
I never keep anything up my sleeve except for this one time. I've got one thing up my sleeve. You're thinking of the Three of Hearts. If you'll look right here on my arm.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
Two of the Three of Hearts.
Nice. That's nice. Why do people
that's the reaction.
Why is the psychology? Why is the psychology to always pick Three of Hearts?
Always. They always pick Three of Hearts, and if you would have picked the Ace of Spades, I would have had to tuck my pants off.
I knew there was a joke coming at the end of this. You got any shows coming up?
Absolutely, sir, I do.
What'd you got?
The first week of February, starting February 1st, I'm going to be at Stand Up Live Comedy Club in Huntsville, Alabama. And then February 2nd, I'm going to be at the Stardome in Birmingham, Alabama. And February 3rd, I will be in Nashville, Tennessee at Zany's Comedy Club.
Nice. Man, I wish I could be there for all of those shows, because
it's going to be a good time. And I will make it down to your neck of the woods soon. Actually, a guy did contact me a few months back about coming down to Savannah, but I was already booked. But I will be getting back in touch with him. I've never been to this place. It's not a club, but it's supposed to be a pretty cool little place. The Wormhole. Have you ever heard of the Wormhole?
Oh yeah, the Wormhole. They actually do some of the best comedy shows in town as far as like locals are concerned, and the setup, the stage, like the sound system. Like, it's the only place where they do comedy in town where it's set up well. Like, it's set up well.
So definitely, their man, food, when we get down there, we'll have to
some serious bar food action in there.
Nice. And if you are ever coming up to this neck of the woods, okay, like I can tell you some great places. Hey, man, you know, there would be some great places to check out up here. And I know we were talking about Nashville. I wanted to say this too. Tell your buddy if he gets to Nashville, he wants to try the original, the OG of hot chicken. Okay,
the absolute OG of hot chicken.
Where? The best hot chicken in Nashville is called Prince's Hot Chicken.
Prince's Hot Chicken.
It is the best. Tell them not Hattie B's. Prince's.
Prince's. Okay? Prince's. Prince's there to burn you. That's what. Is it hot, hot? Hot, hot. All right, where can we follow you?
Well, you can always you can follow me on Facebook at Danny Whitson Magic and Comedy. You can follow me on Instagram at Super Magic Boy. And always check out the website at DannyWhitsonMagic.com.
Hell yeah, Danny. Dude, thanks for hanging out. Really appreciate it.
And also the Abracadam.
Abracadam, right.
The Abracadam podcast.
Do not forget to listen to the Abracadam podcast because I'm sure it is a magical good time. Abracadam. I'm listening. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the fantastic magician, comedian, and podcast host, Mr. Danny Whitson. It's just me here to clap, so I wish I. Yeah, hold on, clap button. Ah!
Awesome, man, dude. This has been a blast, dude.
Thanks, yes, sir. Pet that kitty for me.
Absolutely.
Rock and roll.
Bye, Sugar.
Sugar says woof. All right, man. Well, you have a wonderful rest of your day. And, yeah. Keep it magic and funny.
We'll holler at you, brother. Thank you.
Rock and roll, sir. Cheers. Go watch my show.